A lot of people like to talk about net zero these days. I view it as an important step towards net zero because I think that you need to make your project, right size it, make it as efficient as it can be, make it using as little energy as possible, and then you can talk about trying to, get all the way to not needing any power brought to the building.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Susan King is a registered architect and principal at HED, one of the oldest and largest architecture and engineering firms in the country. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The pleasure is mine, Susan. There are three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
All of them in 90 seconds?
Got it.
Okay. So where did I start? I guess I wanted to be an architect from a really, really young age. I grew up in Northeastern Ohio. I was the artist in the family. I was always drawing, and I studied Frank Lloyd Wright in art class, and particularly Falling Water. And that was it. After that, I'm like, that's what I want to do. And so I guess fast forward several years later, graduated from college, architecture degree, worked and became licensed, and then started to kind of focus my career into housing, which has been all kinds of housing. But has been a main focus of, of my professional life. So
wow.
When I say all kinds of housing, I mean, with the exception of no single family housing, but HED does, senior living, underserved populations, market rate, high end luxury condo, the whole student housing, the whole gamut of multifamily
type. You get to see it all. And I guess for those who are listening, I've got several architects as friends and as in-laws. I mean, getting through architecture, getting not just through school is really, really hard. And then getting past all the exams. I mean, I don't think people mm-hmm. realize how many exams are still left when you guys graduate college.
So I blocked all that out of my life.
I'm sure.
So, well, and then I'll just tell a funny story that before I studied Frank Lloyd Wright and decided on architecture, I love animals. I'm a cat person, and I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Oh, wow.
And so the thing that amuses me now looking back is that I was like, oh, no way. I'm not going to school for 8 years to be to be a vet. And then instead I ended up going for six to become an architect. And then also after that's over, as you say, I had to finish my, I had some of my internship while as part of my schooling. There's a, it constantly changes. So my info may be a little out of date, but it's like a 2 or 3 year internship where you're then out of school working as an architect under supervision,
right.
People who are licensed. And then you get to take the fun licensing exam, which in my day was, when it was in person, was a one time a year. You got one shot at it. I think it was 3 or 4 days of test after test after test. And then if you didn't pass all of it, you had to wait a whole year to retake it. So yes, it was quite an ordeal. I think I still have nightmares about like waking up and finding out I have to do that again. But today it's all modernized. And I hate to sound like my parents, like, well, when I was your age, I had to do this, that, and the other, but it's all, I think it's like all year round. It still takes people a long time to get through. It's 8 or 9 tests still.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed. And it does still take them several years, even though it's spread out. They can maybe it's worse now. They're constant. They take, it's constant throughout your life until you're done. And it can take 2 or 3 years to get through all of it.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I just, watching one of my sister-in-laws get through it, I was just like, oh my gosh, does this ever end? And so years later, they're still taking, and just banging their head against the desk, studying day in and day out for one exam. They get through that. I was like, well, we got eight more to go. Like, oh,
right.
And so good on you. Good on you for getting through it and getting it done. I mean, I guess I say all that to say, one, it takes a lot of commitment and discipline to get that done. And then secondly, you guys have to know a lot to do what you do. And I think that's really, really cool. Let's kind of dive in, if we can, into what you particularly work on there at HED, and kind of, well, just tell me a little bit about that. Maybe I'll ask my next questions later on.
Yeah. So now, right. And so I'm a principal. So I'm an owner of the firm now. And then I guess that's a whole nother journey to, if you even want that, you know, some architects, I don't know necessarily, you know, want that responsibility.
Yeah.
But I always did. I guess I'm full of jokes, because the other joke I make now is, I guess, because I get asked to speak a lot about different things and I mentor a lot. And one of the other things I usually share is that I always wanted to be an owner. But I thought I would be with a smaller firm. I did not see myself with a large national practice. But on the other hand, I never wanted to be a sole proprietor either. I'm very collaborative. I like to bounce things off people. Everything's a team, especially when you're coming, you know, when you're talking about building or designing buildings. There's so many pieces to it that it's always a team effort. But the surprise to me was I always thought I'd have maybe two or three partners, you know. I didn't think I'd have, I think I have 50. 50 partners. So I'm one of 51 shareholders in the firm. So, but I think I mentioned already, I mean, I graduated from the University of Cincinnati. It was a Bachelor of Architecture degree. And with that came some practical experience, because they had, I think they still have this, it's a cooperative program. Mm-hmm. So it takes you 6 years to get your 5-year degree, because after your second year, you're actually working in architectural offices. So that's the beginning of your intern period that counts towards the licensing time. So after that, I wanted to move. I worked in Chicago as a student and wanted to return here after I graduated, and that's what I did. So I worked in a few different firms, all smaller, and even the firm that I joined in Chicago that became HED was a 40, 50 person firm. HED has formed it's been a series of acquisitions over the past like 20 years. I guess that's how we've grown to a national practice. So I've been here actually kind of a long time, and I was an associate at the time that, so I was already licensed, and I do a bit of design, a bit of planning, into all the way into the details. I spent several years doing contract administration, which is observing the buildings getting built. So I had all of that under my belt before then, you know, I became an owner of the project. And so, but when I made the move to HED, ever since I've been here, I came here to do multifamily housing, and that's been what I've done. And like I already mentioned, a lot of affordable housing, and a lot of senior living at all levels of care, has been my main focus. So, when you ask like, what is my day? What does my day look like? So it's different every day, and maybe that's why I like it. But it'll involve a bit of, you know, depending projects at different phases. I mentioned earlier, we have a project under construction right now. So I've got actually a couple things under construction right now. So there's a little bit, I'm not the one in the field, but I do get involved, you know, in different things that come up that are going on during that process. But prior to getting to construction, there's, you know, there's design, there's planning, there's getting the client, doing the marketing to get the project to begin with. So going all the way back to the other end of the line. So I kind of, as a principal, I touch all of that.
All of it. Yeah, no. And that's amazing, first of all, but let's talk a little bit about a project you're most excited about right now. What's some things you're seeing? Cause I know you gotta have favorites. Don't lie to me and tell me you don't, because there's some stuff you're like, oh, this is really fun to work on. And the other stuff you're like, okay, that's a snooze fest. We'll do it, but that's boring. So Yeah. Let's not talk about the stuff that puts you to sleep. Talk about the stuff you're working on right now that's really, really fun and compelling for you personally.
Okay. So, well, I'll start with the one that we chatted about right before we came on live. The one that is under construction, it's a smaller project. It's only 4 stories, but it's all affordable. It's called the Conservatory Apartments. It's here in the city of Chicago. And I don't know if I said this already, but it's 43 studio apartments. So that's what makes it a little bit smaller than normal. And it has a very sustainable, energy efficient, green, if you want to use that word, agenda. So I really get excited. I don't really care what the typology is, but if a project can bring together the sustainability pieces and make it happen, I think that's what really gets me excited. And this is one of those. The project is pursuing Passive House certification, which is kind of an extreme green. I always want to say prescriptive. I don't know if that's really right, but it's a tried and true methodology of building that is a little different than the traditional way, but it produces a very high performance envelope for the building. And I view it as a lot of people like to talk about net zero these days. I view it as an important step towards net zero, because I think that you need to make your project, you know, right size it, make it as efficient as it can be, make it using as little energy as possible. And then you can talk about trying to, you know, get all the way to not needing any, you know, any power brought to the building. So, so that project is about halfway done, and we had received our design certification for Passive House, and the acronym is PHIUS. So, Passive House Institute, United States. There's actually, a European or German institute as well. So they are the ones that are monitoring what we're doing and making sure we're doing it all correctly. And today actually happens to be the blower door test, where they're going to, it should be happening right now as I'm speaking. It's pumping all this air into the building to check the whole envelope before they start doing the cladding and everything, to make sure it's as tight as it is supposed to be. So this is the first time my firm has been able, you know, has had the opportunity to pursue this type of certification. A lot of people might be more familiar with LEED. We've done a ton of LEED and all of that. So to me, there are these other methodologies out there, or I don't know if it's not really technology, but certifications that are a little more extreme green, in my opinion. So like Living Building Challenge and Passive House, I think, fit in those categories. So that's one project. I have another project that's just starting, that we are actually also in Chicago, but we're teamed with another firm from California that's part of, that we just won earlier in summer. It was part of a design competition here in Chicago. There's, for the past 3 or 4 years, there has been an initiative called Invest Southwest, and it was focused on our the neighborhoods of Chicago to the south and to the west, trying to bring catalytic projects into neighborhoods that had previously sort of been underserved, underdeveloped, and all that. And this was an initiative coming out of the mayor's office. And so it was highly competitive. And so there are several of those types of projects going on around the city right now. And so we're again proud to be part of one of them.
That's really cool. I mean, yeah, those are fun projects for you to work on. Let's go back to the 4-story conservatory project for just a second. I had a question on that. When you're doing such a unique design, unique building methodology, what is that process like interfacing with local building codes, building inspectors? I mean,
yeah,
it can't be an easy row to hoe.
No, it was not. But I think it's going to get easier here now. I'm not going to say because we forged the way by ourselves, that's for sure. But I'm laughing because we actually had an amazing time getting our permit A year ago, I was just pulling out my hair going, are we ever going to get this thing out? And the interesting thing, though, about our that project and that timeline, we happened to just be paralleling. It was sort of like we were just a maybe just ahead. If we'd just been a couple months later, our life would have been easier. But the codes were changing here and have changed. And so it should be, I'm hoping to do another, and I'm hoping the road will be easier the next time. But we actually had to ask for an alternative compliance path on our ventilation requirements. And again, lucky for us, there was a whole group of advocates and other people who were working on this issue directly with the City of Chicago Department of Buildings to get these changes that we were asking for built into the code. And so it's just a little, it was, So all of that was taking officially effect as we were finally pulling our permit. So our timing was just in parallel with it. And I just keep thinking that yes, my next one and everyone who is coming behind us, it should be easier. But historically, the City of Chicago, their building code, and I'm not a mechanical engineer, so I'm not the best person to be able to explain this, but it was around the things we were asking for were around ventilation and exhaust, and that having a really tight envelope, you've got to balance it with a mechanically ventilated system so that you don't get, the sick building and all of that. So it's really important, right? It's important stuff, and it's reason to be, make sure you're doing it right and all of that. But yes, it was quite, it was a challenge, and it was long. And I do keep thinking back because last year at this time we were trying to get our the design certification piece is kind of the step where the institute signs off right before before you start construction. And we were on, while I'm anxious today that our blower that the whole building blower door test is going okay, a year ago it was even more
Even more
more
challenging.
angst about it. Like, are they going to approve this? Are they not going to approve it? Can we get the permit out? Is this code going to be adopted? Which it has been, and so that's pretty exciting. And I will then say, I'll put in Chicago in context. So that had been a big barrier. Our ventilation, apparently, we our buildings here were overventilated, which of course then takes energy too.
Sure.
But if you look at if you go east, interestingly enough, to New York City and Pennsylvania, and then the entire state had an initiative, and then also Boston did something recently as well, all around passive house. So to fit into your get like they are already scaling passive house up. So I'm anxious for Chicago to catch up with them, but because I want to say I think Boston like did something really radical. You could kind of maybe Google it and find it, but I want to say they built passive house straight into their code, but it might not be exactly that extreme, but it was pretty radical. And so I believe this is the way it's going. We are building differently, but I think we're actually building the way we're going to build in the future.
Right. No, and that's it. I mean, yeah, I look at, and this is obviously, I'm not an architect. I am loosely in, I've owned way too much real estate, so I see a lot of it, and have been in the trades. I've had a business in the trades for a long, long time, and you see the way buildings are built. You see the materials being used. You see the waste. You see the inefficiency in the building, but it's just the way it is. Like, even looking here in Memphis, it's like, the housing stock, just in the general single family housing, it's just so old. It's so old. Stuff is just horribly inefficient. And it's like, my goodness, there's got to be a better way than continuing, even in the new build stuff. It's just, it still that feels like it's the same. It's just the same product, but it's gonna fall apart faster. So it's like, there's got
What are
there's,
we doing?
what are we
Yeah, we should
doing?
build for length, build for duration,
Yeah.
durability.
I mean,
And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
oh yeah, no problem. But you just made me think of the other thing that I mean, we've dabbled in it, but the other big construction change I would say is modularity, right? I
Yeah.
mean, and our we see a lot of prefab components, but everyone thinks it's like kind of a no-brainer that the solution to the housing crisis is is modular units. Like, why can't we have an apartment come out pretty much built? You plug it in, right? And at least for whatever reason, it doesn't get off the ground. Like, people try and it dies. And it's a little bit frustrating to watch, but I think that's the other thing that's got to happen.
It's coming. It's a slow moving process, but it's certainly coming. Susan, we got just a couple minutes here left, and I've got one more question, more from a just kind of, I'm not gonna call it market sentiment, but I really want to hear from you, because you guys get kind of a front row seat to all the projects being built around the country, to what builders are looking for, what they want to build, coming to you guys probably saying, hey, can we even do this? What's the possibility here? In all of the housing profiles that you guys work inside of, what's the type or the product that's in most demand for you guys to be architects on and to draw up plans for? And yeah, what's most in demand?
Yeah, good. That's a good question. I think it's apartments, but I think right now, probably for the next, so things come in cycles, right? And so yeah. I mentioned, our firm in our Los Angeles office kind of rode there was a high rise housing boom there for the past, 10 years before COVID. And we got to do a lot of units, built a pretty strong portfolio out there. And then of course it's on the, you overbuild and then it cycles down. And so out there, we're seeing a lot of the maybe a little more suburban, less dense, but still probably 3 to 4 stories in height, but a little more sprawling, apartment complexes. We didn't touch on senior living, but I think senior living is always in demand. But there's a new, and we're pursuing a lot of these, but we haven't landed anything yet. There's a kind of a new category in senior living called, it's a terrible name, but it's called active adults, but it's really 55 plus apartments, but without any kind of medical or nursing, and they're standalone. That's what maybe separates them from the continuum of care, life plan community, type campuses that were being done. So I think that's on the, we're anxious to have some of that in our portfolio. We don't yet, but I think it's coming. And it's that baby boomer, the end of the baby boomer, the next generation X, I guess, they're like, we're healthier. We don't consider ourselves seniors. Don't call us that. And active adult probably isn't the right name, but that's somehow what we've got right now, which I can also have issues with fair housing and all of that. They have to be careful, but I'm surprised it's lasted as a label.
A label, right. That's very, very insightful. So, Susan, I have loved having you on the show today. Thank you for taking the time to really just break down your journey into becoming an architect, what it takes to become an architect, the types of assets you guys are working on, breaking down this conservatory project with Passive House there in Chicago. I think that's absolutely fascinating. You guys get a front row seat to kind of what is going on in the commercial real estate sectors across the country. So appreciate you taking the time to come on today and share with us. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you and your firm, what is the best way to do that?
I'm on LinkedIn. So that's probably, you can Google my name with HED. Our website is www.hed.design. So, and I'm there too. So hed.design.
HED.design. We'll make sure we include that there in the show notes. It's a very pretty website. I should expect nothing less from an architecture firm. But yeah, very, very cool. Susan, thank you again for coming on today. I certainly appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.